Hello, I'm Philip Stoter and welcome to EMS at Sea Level Live. I am with Bruno from All Circuits. Bruno, pleasure to visit, pleasure to look around this super impressive facility that's grown so much in the years that I've been visiting. Let's start a little bit with that growth over the last 2 years. You're on the back of 2 years of close to 20% growth. You've seen real development in terms of your market, but also in terms of the facility here. Let's start with the market. What's changed in the market that's allowed you to grow like that in the last 2 years, particularly in the automotive sector?
Okay, starting with automotive, we bet on two things actually. We bet on the electrical vehicle, on the EV. So there is four or five new elements in the car that we are not manufacturing that we have been able to grow up, to catch up, to win. Mm-hmm. One being the inverter, the board driving the motor. Another one being the battery management. Mm-hmm. So, and at the same time, it did allow us to enter in a relationship with the car manufacturer. The phenomena is that the car manufacturer were used to handle their thermal engine, okay, and subcontracting the rest to people such as Bosch, Conti, and so on. Now that they do not have any more the engine, the thermal engine, they are trying to refocus and to gain the knowledge, at least the knowledge of the board itself driving all their engine. Mm. And they need people like us to manufacture those boards. Yeah. And so it's really a mutual agreement and mutual learning. They are learning to really how to make those boards. And we are learning how to deal with those car manufacturers. So we are becoming so-called a tier one. And being a tier one for us was really a new experience. Mm. Is different than being a normal EMS.
Yeah.
And the second point I was on, that maybe your next question, mm-hmm. is that there's also a tendency now, we did talk since a long time about reshoring, about producing where the market is, but it did really happen. So we have a lot of things products which were made in China, in Asia, which are coming back where those products are sold. So we're also surfing on those phenomena.
Yeah, and it's really interesting when you see all those phenomena combined, it gives you this growth opportunity. And it's really interesting in terms of the technology, because as we were walking around, we were seeing lots of large through-hole components that we haven't perhaps seen in the past. And that's because we're getting involved in the power management and the drivetrain of the vehicle rather than just the infotainment and that kind of side of it. That's a shift in mindset for you and for the car manufacturers.
Absolutely. And there is another phenomena. I mean, we have been lucky enough to have seen our process modified, evolving. Mm. We are used to see a lot of people checking the board, touching the board, and so on. Now this is disappearing. We need two people running a line, okay, and you have the complete product after this line. So you have a new AOI, SPI, automatic machines going faster and faster. So bottom line, the cost of manufacturing those boards, at least the direct labor, is less than 5%. Mm. So when you are less than 5%, you are really able to compete with low-cost country.
Yeah.
Okay. So so it's also a new phenomena for us. Well, it's going faster and faster.
Yeah.
And it did allow us, Western country, to be competitive or to offer a full service. And in our job, if you are not competitive, you do not have any business and you are not attractive.
Yeah.
So we really compete on this profitability, well, on this efficiency. Mm-hmm. Which is making attractive to at least the European, including the Mexican one, but where the product is sold.
Yeah, that regionalization's really, really become an important part of it. And as you say, you've taken a lot of labor cost out there. I think this facility in particular would be the envy of a lot of companies that are looking at automation and thinking in 2024, how do we increase our operational excellence? How do we increase our performance and efficiency? And how do you increase quality at the same time? You've done that. And interestingly, you've built quite a substantial extension here. You've been able to move some lines around. Tell me a little bit about how that's come about and how that's impacted the performance of the facility.
Well, and we haven't finished. Again, we have been working on direct labor. So direct labor is less than 5% in almost all our products that we are making now. The next step was to work on our systems, okay, not only to remove the paper on the line, but also to have efficiency on the indirect labor, mm-hmm. okay? Training, instruction, quality, and so on. We are trying to amortize. What we haven't done so far that we need to finish is the logistic aspect. Mm-hmm. Logistics in our system is now 10 to 15% of our manpower, mm-hmm. which is a lot. So we really need to improve our efficiency on logistics, maybe with AGV, maybe with automatic system, new labeling system, and so on. So that's our next challenge here.
Yeah, that's key to have that automation integrated through the whole line. And when you look at logistics, and you know it's that big topic of inventory that Absolutely. Comes up every time. You've started to push down the inventory load you have, but it's still quite substantial, isn't it? There's still quite a lot of inventory sitting in EMS companies throughout the world at the moment.
Yeah, it's still too much, definitely. We are targeting in the automotive to have 20 days of inventory, mm-hmm. In the industrial, maybe 45, so a little bit kind of business. Today, we are more in the 40 days for automotive and maybe 90 days in the industrial, so it's still too much. I will say twice too many. But in the same time, we have been able to reduce by 10% our global inventory last year. We are still struggling. We have one advantage is that we are purchasing a lot of our components from the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And they are a lot more reactive than the distribution. Mm-hmm. Distribution, so to speak, those days are still pushing a lot to send us all their extra inventory they have, but which I don't understand because it's really their job to... Yeah. All the inventory for us. Yeah. We had the battle with the manufacturer last year, end of last year. I think it's over now. They are really recovering. They are not happy of the slowdown of the activity, but they manage it. The one who are not managing it is the distribution. And they prefer to push the component back to their customers and back to their supplier, which for me it's a big mistake.
Yeah, and it doesn't build a relationship going forward. And when we look at the component crisis and the challenges, one of the things that I saw EMS companies like yourself do really well was communicate well with your customers, share the issues with your customers, discuss and develop solutions. It doesn't feel like that's been done on the other side of the supply chain, which makes things more difficult than they should be.
Absolutely. Well, first, we have automatic systems. So we are working on 3DI from our customer. I'm not saying the IDI signal for the car manufacturer is fantastic, but at least we are avoiding all the manual mistake, the human mistake. And then we are sending also all our need through EDI to our supplier.
Yeah.
And we are doing that as much as we can. Okay. This is explained due to our automotive background. There's a lot more automatization in the automotive world. Now, having said that, this is for the administrative workload. We're also trying to communicate with our supplier as much as we can to be honest and transparent. Mm. Okay. So if we made a mistake, we made a mistake and try to fix it. They also have to bear some uncertainty of our economy. There is one important point which is the volatility of the demand. With the electronic car, there is a lot of newcomer coming in, okay? The Chinese, but only Tesla and so on. So the job size is a lot smaller, and you have a lot of more comer and so on. So who will win? We have no idea. Yeah. There is a volatility in all of the demand. So this is new for us in the automotive. We are not used to have it. In the automotive, in the old age, it was plus or minus 20%. Yeah. Okay. Now it's plus or minus 100%. So you have no idea who will win, who will win. Yeah. So that's why we are putting a lot of pressure to have shorter cycle time. Okay. Yeah. So that's why the idea of having the manufacturer too close to us, at least electronically speaking, it's a better deal than having distribution in between, distribution of the distribution, and so on. So we are really trying to shorten the cycle time. And last but not least, we have also the quality problem. Yeah. Okay. It does happen. So very rarely, but when you have a quality problem coming from car manufacturer, you really need to be quick to react. You have about 24 hours to decide if you can use those parts or not. Mm-hmm. And you have another 24 hours to replace the part. So sometimes it's really a challenge. Yeah. So we have to be ready and very agile and reactive.
Yeah.
And I think agile is a term, okay? Yeah. Agile in the communication, agile in the reactivity, agile in your equipment.
Yeah.
That's why our strategy to have a rather big site. When I say big site, it's in the at least 10 SMT line. To be able to have to be reactive enough to really catch up when you have a problem.
Yeah, I think that agility is really important. And, you know, that agility, if you're going to have that agility through the supply chain, it requires really rapid collaboration. And as you say, it's closeness, but it's digital closeness. So you can, you can see and you can respond, but it also needs a mindset where everybody understands what the demands of each other are, and, you know, they're partnered to create successful outcomes. You talk about the volatility of the market changing, but being in the automotive industry, one of the benefits you've had over the last 2 years is you've been able to see this demand coming from a reasonable distance, and you've been able to scale to it. When you look through 24 and 25, what do you see as the growth potential? A lot of EMS companies, perhaps in the industrial sector, see 24 as a bit of a flat spot and 25 as a growth year. How does it look from Allcircuit's point of view?
So here we definitely have two different business segments. In the industrial, we have a drop. The industrial guy realize that they have a 1 year, maybe 2 years of inventory. So they are cutting their order or part of the order, which do result as a drop of order for us. This will certainly length for 1 year. So we definitely see that 2024 will be an average year, I will say, and it will start up again in 2025. For the automotive, it's different because you have a lot of new programs, mainly due to the new product. So we are really reshuffling the board. We don't know who will win. So our strategy is to try to be present in as much as car program as we can. For example, on the BMS for Renault, we are present for all the BMS for the Renault car. So we don't know which car will win, but at least you have an average number which will come. And then, to give you another number, last year, the year before last, we were doing 1% of a component for electronic car. This year, we did 13%. And our target this year in 2024 will be to be 20-25% of our total turnover.
Yeah.
So the impact is pretty big. We are not intending to be more than 25 because we have no idea if really the electric car will fly or not, but it's definitely part of our growth.
Yeah.
So we are seeing a growth in 2024 still in the car business, the automotive business.
Yeah, and ongoing program development. Thanks for your time, Bruno. Pleasure to chat.
Welcome.
absolute pleasure to tour the facility again. And, you know, it changes every time I come here, and more impressive automation. So thank you for that. And we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.